Hey everyone. This episode of Busted Stuff originally premiered on Spotify in November 2019, so some of the content may feel slightly out of place. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. What's your name again?
I'm John.
I'm Tommy. So anyway, you're listening to our podcast.
Do we want to say the name?
I don't know.
I don't know if we want to say the name.
We were brainstorming names last week, and several names came up. One of which was
Busted Stuff.
Yes. Now, you might ask, what does that mean? And it means nothing. So moving on.
Good start. I think the trouble with naming a show like this is that the show isn't really about anything in particular other than the two of us kind of talking at each other in a generally, hopefully entertaining way for an hour.
Right on.
And so that makes it difficult because you don't have a single topic to center around.
Yeah, and a deeply opinionated listener might even say, wow, this podcast is a bunch of BS. And get this. What are the initials of, is that what it is, initials?
The, if you abbreviate.
Busted stuff. You get BS, because that's what this podcast is.
And we thought we were so clever.
We were amazed by that one. Also, I think you said busted, and I was like, wow, that's a great word.
Busted. And I kind of laughed. How you pronounce it is very satisfying.
Busted. You know? And then stuff, just because stuff is a fun word to say.
Right.
So,
it's generic, which lends itself to the...
That was key.
Yeah.
I think the name is subject to change, but for now...
We're going with Busted Stuff. With Tommy and John.
Your favorite Christian saints. Well, I guess that'd be Thomas.
Yeah.
Wait, or even better, your favorite islands. Your favorite U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Thomas and St. John.
Nice.
There you go.
Good work.
Yeah. I was actually looking at, I was making my course schedule for next semester yesterday, and there's one history class, and it's like a history seminar on saints in medieval times, and like the cult of sainthood.
That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah,
thinking about taking that one?
It's currently like an alternate choice, because I really want to take a different class, which is a seminar on the plague, which just feels kind of fun. So my second choice is the saint class, and I might take it later as like an elective for the major. But right now I'm taking, or I want to take, this 2.5 hour once weekly plague course.
That's what my current journalism course is right now. It's kind of a nice setup because it's not too, you have a lot of time between classes to just kind of work on whatever assignments you get.
Right.
And just kind of think about it. And while you're in class, you have enough time to really learn a lot of new stuff at once.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
I enjoy it.
If I came into journalism, it's like I could take the first week, okay, I'd be like, great, now I can learn how to read, and the next week I could learn how to write, and then like after that I'd be like, I'm a journalist.
It's like, wow, I'm actually literate now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they structured it that way.
Yeah,
I mean, most kids coming into college aren't literate.
That's true.
I was not literate coming into college.
I wasn't literate coming to college.
I could only speak and read in Pig Latin.
Impressive.
Yeah.
That's more than I could do.
I've actually lost all my fluency, though.
I couldn't speak.
At all?
No.
You were mute?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Some people don't know that about me.
So was this, like, dating back to childhood?
This was dating back to the year 1785.
Oh, okay.
So I was a soldier in the Revolution.
Okay.
And then during a battle, I was fighting sort of in the woods of New England, and a stray bullet from one of the British soldiers lodged itself into my voice box.
And somehow you didn't die.
I didn't die. It just caused me not to be able to speak anymore.
Okay.
And so I had to live with that for hundreds of years.
That's
until fascinating. I came to Georgetown and learned once again how to speak.
4 years later, when Georgetown was founded, 1789.
Yeah.
That was fascinating. So that was actually our historical segment. Again, that was Cornelius, our former Revolutionary War soldier, the ghost of Cornelius. He's actually here in hologram form, like Tupac.
That's a a lot just happened there.
So I wanted to give you like a kind of old timey name. So I figured Cornelius.
I'm Cornelius now.
Yeah, well, Cornelius was a guy.
Is Cornelius like a character that we're introducing?
I hope not.
Potentially. Podcast? I don't know how I feel about that.
I have so many different ideas zooming through my head right now. I was going to relate this to Erasmus, the 16th century humanist thinker, and then I was going to relate this to abnormal psychology and dissociative identity disorder. And I was like, uh-oh. And then I was thinking the movie Split with James McAvoy. And then I was thinking of The Patriot with Mel Gibson, you know, famous American Mel Gibson, who's not American, and he's also got some issues. Have you seen the movie The Patriot?
I haven't, no.
Yeah.
I do know that Mel Gibson has some issues, though.
Yeah.
We won't get into that.
No, we won't. Okay. Let's just collect our thoughts for a second.
Wow. Can we use any of this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Nice.
Listeners, give us some feedback. Did that make any sense?
Let us know. Email us at... BustedStuff@gmail.com. Don't actually. I don't know.
Email us at info.georgetown.edu.
There you go.
Speaking of
emails?
Yeah. Nah. I can't really segue on this one.
This is a rough one.
Yeah. But I wanted to talk about depth perception today.
Depth perception.
Yesterday, I think I mentioned to you that I was only wearing one contact.
You did.
Today I'm doing the same thing.
You have glasses.
I do.
You just don't wear them.
Yes.
Explain that decision to me, because obviously this is an auditory medium, and you can't actually see what we look like.
Yeah. But
for the listeners, Tommy,
that's me,
does not have glasses.
No, he doesn't.
I don't. No, he doesn't. And John, that's me, I do have glasses, and have pretty much wear them all of the time. Explain why you're only wearing one contact.
Oh, well, so I'm currently rationing.
Right.
I'm rationing contacts because I'm running low. I'm waiting for a shipment to come. So on my rationing system, I wear one contact in my left eye. I currently have, so when I started the rationing program, I had 10 contacts left. So this is day 2. And so I figure the way I've rationed it, I'll have about a week and a half, which should be plenty of time.
Right.
And then, of course, if those run out, I'll turn to the glasses, but...
So, alternatively, you could just wear contacts in both eyes and maintain that depth perception, and then once you run out, just wear the glasses.
I could, but why would I do that?
To maintain your depth perception.
This is actually what I was trying to get to with depth perception. I think it's overrated.
You think it's a... You don't need it?
I mean...
Are you functioning without it currently?
Yes. I have been functioning very well.
Excellent.
I think. All things considered, in a sort of relative sense, I've been functioning just fine. Now, I haven't had to catch anything lately. However, I have... had to catch things before with just one eye, and that's when depth perception is important. You know, if you're catching like a tennis ball or a frisbee or whatever that's coming at your face,
right?
And I've done it before, and it's a little weird, but it's not like, you know, debilitating.
Okay, so you only have the contact in your left eye, does that mean that, say, half of your vision is slightly blurrier? How does that
it is
manifest
really
itself?
I'm not sure. Weird.
It's hard to picture because normally you're either wearing both, or you just can't see out of either eye very well.
Yeah,
normally it's a binary thing.
Right. No, it's kind of fun. It's a fun little experiment because my left eye is my like stronger eye.
Right.
It tends to overpower my right eye. And so when I have the contact in, I mostly see clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's my vision is half clear and half not clear. It's really kind of hard to explain.
I'm trying to picture, like, is it split down the middle? Or is it...
No.
Is it just, in general, it's, like, slightly blurry, but not as blurry as it would be?
It's just, everything is clear.
Right.
You know, I can see everything clearly. There's just this weird kind of, like, ghost.
Wow.
You know, it's like my vision is haunted.
Haunted?
Yes, I have cursed vision.
That's quite spooky.
Yeah, well, it's Halloween.
It is Halloween.
But we're saving our Halloween spectacular.
Yeah, we don't want to go too far into the spooky season.
Yeah, because that's next week.
Yeah.
We have a really awesome program planned. Just kidding, we have nothing planned.
We don't know what we're doing.
We didn't have anything really planned when we came here today.
I don't know if you could tell.
Yeah, well, ignoring the ramblings so far. I mean, this has been a topic, right? Depth perception.
Depth perception is, you know, relatively interesting. My depth perception, I think, is all right. Oh, here's a story. So, I mentioned before, I wear glasses.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
I mentioned before I wear glasses. I got them in, like, the third grade. And so, like any little boy does in America...
You ate mud.
No, I did not eat mud.
I think everyone should eat mud.
I played Little League baseball.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't do that.
No, you didn't play baseball as a child.
No, I ate mud instead.
Do you want to talk about the mud thing before we move on?
I don't know. That just kind of came... I've told you this story, right? You know, mud. Looks like chocolate pudding.
Right.
So
you ate mud as a child.
Okay, only once. And I was like... You know, I was like 7.
Uh-huh.
17, I don't know.
It was like last...
I was younger. Because, no, it was raining outside, and I looked on the... I looked in our yard, and... Mm-hmm. There was a muddy patch, and I was like, wow, that looks delicious. And so I went outside and sampled it, and believe it or not, it tasted like dirt.
It didn't taste like chocolate I thought it would.
I really was expecting...
That's incredibly
delicious chocolate pudding. I really want chocolate pudding now. Anyway, when you played Little League Baseball.
I played Little League Baseball, like most children did. I suppose not all, because some were busy eating mud.
Wow, is that shade?
Yeah. I just added you.
Hey, sorry I was... expanding my creative palette horizons.
Wow.
/ bolstering my immune system.
Okay.
Carry on.
But so I didn't realize that I needed glasses until we sort of realized... All right.
You didn't realize it until you realized it?
I didn't realize it until my parents and teacher collectively... understood that I couldn't see the board
from my chair. They called your parents up. They're like, yo, your kid is blind.
Yeah.
Figure him out. That happened to me, actually, in, like, fifth grade.
Yeah.
I needed glasses. I couldn't see anything. And my teachers were just like, just wear your glasses. And I was like, no. I was like, I don't want to wear my glasses. And they're like, all right. Well, like, that sucks, I guess. Just,
wow.
You'll get everything wrong. And then I finally started using them. And I was like, wow. Like, the world is clear. It's like you forget what the world looks like.
The moment that you walk out of, like, the optometrist or the glasses store, wherever you get your glasses, and you put your glasses on for the first time, that's always like a very surreal experience, because
right.
You realize that like the leaves on trees are like distinct things that
they're not just
green
smudges.
Blobs.
It's like transitioning from like modern art to Renaissance art or something.
Yeah.
You know, you go from schmears to like
to
geometry
defined,
and shapes.
Defined lines and
oh, actually, speaking of schmears, dude, that was in the crossword today. Schmear.
The New York Times crossword puzzle.
Yes, the New York Times crossword puzzle, and it was like, you know, you put this on a bagel. Schmear. Do you know how to spell schmear?
S-C-H-M-E-A-R.
Yeah, it has a C in it.
Yeah.
Does that suggest like a Yiddish root?
I'm not sure. I know a lot of German vocabulary has SCH,
mm-hmm.
Especially like adjectives.
Yeah.
So.
Schadenfreude.
I'm not sure that.
I know that's not an adjective.
I don't think that's an adjective.
That's more of a concept.
It's just a.
It's a German word.
Just
though.
A word that you know.
I know a few German words.
You do.
Why was I talking about schmears?
Because.
Oh right,
because
we're talking about trees and the way that so your vision focuses.
So. Right. So in third grade, I got my glasses. And up until that point, I had been playing baseball for a while.
Baseball.
And we always kind of wondered, why was I so terrible at baseball? And why did I develop this unyielding fear of the baseball.
I know.
Why is that?
Because you are a coward.
Well, I don't know if that could even... Could they even hear that?
I whispered, because you were a coward.
For those of you who listen to the
That's a theme. Cowardice.
Cowardice.
That's what our podcast should be called.
Cowardice.
Wow. Just like a podcast... Two cowards reminiscing about things they used to be afraid of or something.
Or not afraid
of. Or not afraid of, more importantly.
Yeah.
Or fears that we overcame. Like, you overcame your baseball fear.
I wouldn't say that. So, we're working on it. So for many years of my life, prior to me getting glasses, I played and was afraid of the ball because I couldn't see it flying towards my face.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
So, I would be playing in the outfield and someone would hit a fly ball. And normally fly balls are considered generally easy to catch because they move relatively slowly.
Like a pop fly?
You can maneuver yourself on the baseball field, yeah, and line yourself up and just have your glove over your head, catch it, and right on. Job's done. But when you can't see the baseball and just know that it's coming, you're just kind of looking for like a white blob and don't know how far away it is from you until it already hits you.
This is like, have you seen Sandlot?
No.
You gotta see the Sandlot. It's a classic baseball movie. And like the main character, the main kid, he's not very good at baseball or whatever. And one of the first times he's out, he's in the outfield, and he's standing there. He just holds his glove straight up and closes his eyes, and then he's like waiting for the ball to just hopefully land in it. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
That reminds me of myself.
Okay,
I would say so. And then also say I was up at bat, and I'm nearsighted. I can't see very far away, and so I would be up at bat, and the pitcher would throw the ball at me, and I wouldn't be able to see where the ball was until it was, like, almost directly in front of me.
Could you hear it?
No. It's Little League. They're not throwing it that fast.
Well, I don't know. I was just thinking, like, you know how because my, bats because have good my, hearing?
Are you saying because my vision was you so were, poor that my sense of hearing would be heightened?
Yeah, you're like Batman. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows Batman's blind.
Right.
That's just, you know, that's just, but bats in real life, though, like, they don't see too good.
And so they have real good hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you could, well, I guess if you don't have super hearing.
So that's the thing. Before I got my glasses, I was Batman.
Okay. I see where this is going. Mm. But you said you couldn't hear it, though.
I couldn't.
So what I'm hearing is, you could either smell the ball or taste the ball.
I could taste it.
So you tasted the ball in order to hit it. Okay, so this actually does Batman do that? Does he?
I think yeah, because I was Batman.
You know what he has to do for it? He has to taste crime. So Batman will just be waiting in his cave, and then he just sort of like he gets a whiff on the air and just kind of opens his mouth. He's like,
like a cat
arson. Because every crime has a flavor.
Wow,
think about it. Arson tastes like charcoal.
Yeah, that's true. And you're not wrong.
You know, theft tastes like broken glass or something.
Incredible.
So Batman sits in his cave and he tastes the crime.
He just sits with his mouth open,
and then he just sits on the ground like his mouth hanging open for hours at a time. You know how bats hang from like they hang from
that's where it comes raptors? From.
That's what Batman does.
He sits in an office chair. He's hanging from the ceiling and just kind of opens his mouth.
Oh, yeah. He's just waiting there. And then, like, Alfred will come in and be like, you know, Mr. Wayne, I can't do the accent.
I can't either.
Michael Caine.
That's all right.
So when you say my cocaine in a British accent, it sounds like Michael Caine saying his own name. Michael Caine. It's hard to do. Anyway,
wow.
So Alfred comes in. He's like, you know, sir, I have your tea or whatever. And then he'll just be like, just put it in my mouth. Just pour it in. I got to sit here and taste the crime.
That's right.
Actually, that's why palate cleansers are so important for Batman.
Because if he doesn't cleanse his palate after every crime that he fends off and resolves, then otherwise he won't be able to tell what crime he needs to go after.
Right, because like, you know, if he has like a cookie or something, he'll taste the cookie and be like, uh-oh, like this isn't a
crime.
There's
a bakery theft happening.
Yeah,
I have to go.
I'll be like, uh-oh, like someone's stealing the Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, and he'll arrive at the bakery, and then he'll realize, no, there's no crime here.
Yeah.
And then he'll miss the bank robbery across the city.
Right.
That would be a disaster.
He'll just have to walk home in shame, with his mouth hanging open.
You know, this is why the police in Gotham aren't effective whatsoever.
Right.
Because they don't taste the crimes.
Exactly. And it's all, the weird part, like, so this, yes, I'm aware. I'm sure you're aware, too. This is a weird concept.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the weird part, though. The weird part is what Batman does when he catches criminals. Because he has to make sure they're the right criminal, right?
Right.
So he has to taste them. So the real question is, does he bite them? Is he like a vampire bat?
He might be. Or does he just like...
He has like a catalog of...
Does he just like... Give him a lick.
just a little...
Just kind of, you know...
Just like, you know, casually slurp. Just like, you know, licks their arm. You know how like... What am I thinking of?
I'm not sure.
I don't know either. Anyway, Batman will just like, you know, he gets you all tied up and he's like, yeah, this is the right guy. He like brings him in. He's like, this
let
one.
Let me, Alfred, get me some tea. I need to cleanse my palate for a second.
He's like, he brings him into like the Gotham Police Department, whatever. He's like, I think these guys are right. This guy over here, he was wearing like a different cologne. He tasted a little different. However, the rest of them, for sure.
Do you think Batman has ever tasted mud?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, mud. Do you know what crime mud is?
No.
I don't either. I was like desperately trying to think of something.
I think that's how he became Batman.
Oh.
Was by...
Oh, you know what it was? You know how he fell into that well and was really scared of the bats down there when he was a little kid?
Yeah.
When he was down there, he survived off of mud.
Right. And so he was in the dark, and so his vision went away.
Right.
But his taste heightened because of it. Because he could taste... He knew the correct way out of the well because he could taste the mud from the surface.
The changing mud flavors.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes sense.
It does.
I think this should be the new Batman canon.
I think so, too.
Because, like, normal Batman, he's perfectly fine.
Normal Batman is just a coward.
I mean, he can see, he can hear... That's lame.
Yeah. I want someone who overcomes some sort of struggle.
Right.
And succeeds regardless.
Well, I guess his parents died.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
That's not important.
Right? So, I mean, should he have a different... Can he just be a different superhero?
Like Mudman.
Mudman. Yeah, that feels like the correct,
I think
correct
that's
way to
right.
do it. Mudman.
Yeah.
So that was the story of Mudman. I do wonder... The fact, like, is there a copyright issue if we were to publish the Mudman comic? Because it's very similar to Batman. He's just muddy. And he likes...
So, here's a question. Is Mudman still dressed as a bat?
Yeah. It's inexplicably. It's
Alfred is still his butler.
Oh, yeah. Everything is the same.
Everything's
the same except his origin story and the way he fights crime. He's literally Batman, but he eats mud and he tastes crime.
And people, I guess.
Well, he tastes the crime and the criminal.
God, he'd be so good at baseball.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he could taste, you know, fastballs, curveballs,
splitters.
Yeah. He can actually, well, I mean, I think if he played baseball, he would straight up catch it. Just like, oh.
In his mouth.
Have you seen Blue Man Group?
Once, a very long time ago.
They do that thing where they, like, throw marshmallows or, like, Twinkies into each other's faces.
I do remember that. Wow.
And they just, like, they just nail it. That's Batman.
That's Mudman.
Oh, Mudman. I think my favorite part of this is that Mudman is literally Batman, but he's just, like, he eats mud.
A little gross.
Just Mudman.
A little off.
A little weird. It's like awesome. Batman's weird cousin.
Nice.
Because, you know, there's, like, Batman, there's Robin, there's Catwoman, there's Batgirl. And there's also Mudman.
There's also... What's that clay villain from Batman? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Clayface, I think.
Clayface?
I think his name is Clayface.
Oh, well, that's clearly Mudman's arch nemesis. I mean, he's literally dried mud.
Or is it like his long-lost brother?
I like that better.
I think that's more interesting.
Yeah, they start off as foes, but they realize that...
That they were actually brothers.
The only difference between them is that Clayface is... chronically dehydrated.
Right.
Because otherwise he would...
He's also made of mud.
Right, Clayface is made of mud. He's just very dry. Very dry. Because he's clay now. Is clay dry? Yeah, I guess it's kind of moist. I'm picturing
clay is you're picturing like a ceramic man.
Right. I'm picturing like clay after you fired it in the kiln.
Like Pottery Boy.
Yes, that's his.
That's
his
sidekick. That's the Robin to Mudman.
Mudman and Pottery Boy. So, but Pottery Boy is absolutely useless because in every crime fighting situation, he just gets like shattered.
He just breaks.
Yeah, it's like Mudman's got to glue him back together.
Might as well not even be there.
Yeah, he's really just there for like, you know, there were a few people I guess that he helped or maybe he has some. He was like a childhood friend of Mudman. He was like, all right, I feel bad for this kid, and I'll just give him a job. But Clayface. So is he wet clay?
I think so. I think his thing is that he's like a big mound of clay, but he's like a man.
Oh, that's kind of like the Sandman.
It's almost. Kind of like Sandman, except clay.
I'm just looking up Clayface. I want to see if there's an artist rendition of him.
I'm sure you'll find one. We're just checking our show notes right now.
Wow, this is.
I don't have any paper to shuffle around like last episode, but also the. Oh, I was gonna say the. Paper shuffling got kind of annoying, I realized, listening back to it.
Yeah.
And so we probably shouldn't...
We're going to keep it to a minimum.
That shouldn't be a bit that we do.
Yeah, Clayface is like a giant hulking freak beast.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look like Mudman.
No.
I'm looking at Mudman right now.
Okay.
I kind of wonder... Oh, Mudman... Okay, so Mudman... If you Google Mudman, it's actually a watch.
Of course.
So... I suppose that this is a good segue. This episode was sponsored by Mudman Watches. Mudman, do you like crime? You shouldn't.
Use the code BUSTEDSTUFF
go to mudman.com/busted to get 20,000 free watches.
All of them are busted.
And covered in mud.
They're all broken and dirty and filthy.
That's Mudman's big thing, though. Their watches are, you know, indestructible.
Is that so?
Yeah. And also, if you add mud to them, they kind of, like, grow. They're like chia pets or something. I want to talk about something else now that's been on my mind.
What do you want to talk about?
Cornucopias.
The Thanksgiving table center?
Yeah.
Like, decoration thing?
What is, like, that horn?
That's a good question. I'm not entirely sure.
Because it's like a big thing and they fill it with gourds and stuff.
Yeah, like fruit and, yeah.
But like, is it a basket?
What's it made of?
Should I Google it? I can Google cornucopias.
Okay.
I just kind of wonder why they're a thing.
I'm not sure.
There's probably some important story. Oh, it's a symbol of plenty. It's right. Supposed to be a goat horn overflowing with flowers, fruit, and corn.
That's a goat horn? It seems like too big to be a goat horn.
Maybe it's a really big goat. I mean...
How big are we talking?
Well, it does come... Okay, so this makes sense. It dates back to ancient mythology.
Right.
And everyone knows that goats were huge back then.
Yeah.
It's like most things, you know? So, the first... Okay, so this myth is interesting. According to myth number 2 about cornucopias, Heracles, he wrestled with the river god Achelous and wrenched off one of his horns... Because river guards were... The gods were depicted as being horned. So that's where cornucopias come from. You're actually not... You're not eating from, like, a basket. You're eating from the horn of a god. Which means something about plenty.
Right.
Now, so...
When I think of cornucopias, my mind generally goes to the Hunger Games.
Oh, like...
Because in the center exactly. of the... In the center of the... Arena in the Hunger Games. It's been a long time since I read them. I might get some facts wrong.
That sounds right. But that's where they put all the stuff.
In the center of the arena, that's where all the implements and survival gear and stuff were.
Yeah.
And they would always go run to the center and fight, and some people would just die immediately because they kind of suck because they were cowards.
that's kind of... I feel like they should...
That's pretty brutal.
I feel like the way they do it, it should be that the stuff is scattered everywhere. Mm-hmm. So at least you get kind of an even shot.
Right.
Because, you know, like, all the kids...
It's like a risk versus reward thing, though.
Right.
If you're willing to go take the risk and run to the center, then you'll be rewarded with better stuff, or you might die. But if you run out into the wilderness, you won't get any of that stuff, but you have a higher chance of survival.
Yes, it's a trade-off. Mm. But what would you do?
I would probably run away.
Yeah.
Into the woods and find a cave and probably die.
Yeah, it's same.
You know what I mean?
Just
run I don't away. Think I'm cut out for that.
Yeah, well, it depends, you know, because isn't it, how does it go in the story? Don't, like, some of the districts, they train the kids?
Yeah. And some of them
are just, like, random farming kids who have no experience killing people.
Like the main character who miraculously wins.
Yeah, how does she win?
I don't remember.
Because she's the character?
If you think about it, that's a young adult novel, but that was a brutal concept for a young adult novel. Thinking back on it,
throw
a bunch of children into an arena and have them kill each other.
Straight up.
Wow.
Suzanne Collins, man.
It's a rough life.
Yeah, why not use, like, adults at least?
I don't know. It's rough stuff.
Yeah, I guess because it just makes it that much worse. That's a bummer. This was the bummer civics, like, segment. Do you have anything fun to add? Or hopefully fun anything? Because this is depressing now.
Do you believe in aliens?
Yes.
Okay.
But?
There's a but there.
Well, I believe that aliens exist. Because it'd be crazy if they didn't.
I mean, even if it was just miraculously however life began on the planet, on this planet, there's trillions of other opportunities for it to happen. Statistically, it should happen at least some other time.
Yeah, but if that's the thing that's annoying. It's like it's going to be really kind of hard for humans to ever travel far.
I don't really, unless we come up with some incredible, like, wormhole technology or something to that effect, I don't think there's ever a chance that we could travel through interstellar space and reach another solar system. I think it's just too far away.
Yeah, like, it's, I mean, the galaxy alone is so big. Like, it's just such
Even just the nearest solar system, I believe that the speed of light, I think in a second, light can travel around
three
the
times
equator.
10 to the 8th meters.
I think it can travel around the equator of Earth in like 7 times per second.
That sounds about right.
And so, you think about that speed, and then
can you imagine just like suddenly you're going that fast? It's like just actually like sitting in these chairs, and then just suddenly we're accelerating. I mean, obviously we would like melt.
We would just like turn into energy, right?
But if somehow we didn't and we were just fine and sitting here, like, everything would be, that'd be crazy. Anyway,
yeah, so
I see, I want there to be life, but I don't know if I want to actually see it. I just want to know it's out there. Like, I want confirmation, I guess, because I feel like if life came here, it wouldn't be very good because we'd be at a disadvantage. It would be cool if there was life in our solar system. Like,
and we
say,
just didn't realize it.
Like, say one of Saturn's moons had life, and they kind of got into space travel, and they started going, but, like, they weren't that good at it. Because, like, you know, humans, we're doing okay, but, like, you know, we haven't even put humans past the moon yet, right?
Right. We haven't reached Mars yet.
So it's like, you imagine we're just monitoring the moon, and you just see, like, random probes. Like, sometimes they land, sometimes they crash into it. We're like, what is this? Is there just, like, dumb alien out there?
They kind of suck.
And then, like, we realize they're like, oh, they're kind of just like us.
Doing what we are doing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, sometimes it works.
I'd love if we could just go to, there's a moon of Jupiter or Saturn.
Titan?
Titan. Is it Jupiter or Saturn?
Saturn.
Saturn?
Yeah.
I think it's Saturn.
Yeah.
So, that supposedly has this deep ocean within it because the surface is covered in thick ice, and then underneath that,
isn't it like methane?
I'm not sure. I think there's methane in the ocean, okay. And so that could provide chemical, energy to support life within the ocean. Imagine if we just made it there at some point, cracked it open, went in, and just found, like,
Atlantis.
Yeah. We found Poseidon. He was just there the whole time.
Or we found the Gungans.
Found Jar Jar, finally.
We just, like, promptly exit. We're like, no, there's nothing there.
You know what? There's no other
life. Sorry, guys.
In the universe.
Yeah. It's a bummer. We're alone.
What are you going to do?
Whatever. So Poseidon lives on Titan?
I would say so. I think that's the most likely option.
Is Poseidon the son of a Titan?
He would be the son of Cronus.
Right, so that makes sense. He lives with his dad.
Yeah. I think we just solved Fermi's paradox.
And Greek mythology.
All at once.
And astronomy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that, scientists.
So if Poseidon lives on Titan, where do the other Greek gods live? Jupiter live on Jupiter?
Presumably, Zeus just kind of sits in like Jupiter. A country ranch in the center of Jupiter.
A country ranch like Thanos?
Yeah, exactly. He just kind of like is on a rocking chair in the middle of like a grassy field that's also surrounded by, you know,
just
destructive storms
just
and gas.
Insanely large storms that are like the size of our planet.
He's just kind of watching it.
He's
relax.
Just like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah.
There's just like gas everywhere.
Yeah.
He's just got like, you know, an acre.
Mm.
Wait, which god is Saturn?
I think Saturn is Cronus.
Really?
I think so.
Oh. What are the other planets?
Well, Hades just runs like a dingy gas station on Pluto.
Yeah, it's like a dive bar or something. And then, which god is Uranus?
That's, it's Uranus. Uranus.
That's a god?
Yeah.
Like a Greek god?
No, so he's a primordial god. Uranus and Gaia were like the two initial primordial gods.
Mm-hmm.
Uranus is the sky, Gaia is the earth, and they created all the Titans.
Right. Why do we give them just like one kind of random planet?
I'm not sure.
Because I think they're important.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I wonder how the planets... I assume they're just kind of named haphazardly.
Yeah, I think so. I mean...
If we discovered a new planet today, what do you think we would end up calling it?
Like Steve.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're like...
That sounds about right.
Greg. I think that would be more fun. Kind of... Or just name a species like that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we discovered this new lizard. We call it Greg. Or like, just give it a really human name.
We found a new asteroid belt between this is such a stupid bit. We can't use this.
Do it.
No. We found a new belt of rocks between like further out from the Kuiper belt outside of Pluto.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to name it Marvin.
Get out.
I'm leaving. Sorry. That was so bad.
Marvin isn't it. I mean, it's no worse than Greg the Frog or whatever.
I don't feel good about that. We can't use that, right?
What, Marvin the Asteroid Belt?
We can't use that whole exchange that we just did. That was so sad. Ugh.
I'm so tired right now. It's 2 o'clock. That's the problem.
Oh, God. You do have this history of...
The 2 o'clock schlump.
Yeah. Schlump? Does Schlump also have SCH?
Actually, it has 3 C's.
Is that so?
Schlump.
Schlump.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no, because I guess if it had 3 C's, it'd be Schlump. Wait, no, it'd be... Yeah, it'd be
Oh, C is an ambiguous...
It'd be Schlump.
...letter of how you pronounce it.
But if you have multiple C's, it's going to be a K or a CH.
Are there ever multiple C's?
Yeah.
Where?
Maybe not. Reconnaissance? No, that has 1 C.
I don't think there are generally ever multiple C's in a word.
Fibonacci?
In the English language.
Fibonacci.
Well, that's Italian.
But we pronounce it chi. Thick.
How many C's does that have? Depends on the day.
2 to 12.
Wow.
So there you go. We have two. There's ch and k.
There you go.
What was the word? Oh yeah, schlump. So this would be probably sklump. I am currently sklumped. Oh, you know what? You know what I was going to talk about, or what you wanted to talk about was the key thing.
The key thing.
You remember the key thing?
Yes, I do remember the key thing. So, yeah. Tommy and I are roommates,
and they were roommates. Never mind, continue.
I don't know if that was in reference.
That's a little reference.
But that's okay. Yeah. If anyone gets that, email us at georgetown.info.biz@gmail.biz?
No, at Hotmail.
At Hotmail.
Georgetown specifically uses Hotmail.
Yeah.
So I've forgotten my key twice.
I think it's been three times.
No, it's been twice because you've left the lights on three times.
Oh.
And I'm very proud of the fact that
we have a bozo counter in our room, as we call it, where every time one of us does an oopsie,
yeah,
either forgetting a key or leaving the lights on when we leave, we get a bozo mark.
Yes.
And so I have accidentally left the lights on three times.
Accidentally, you say?
Yeah.
Or you hate the environment.
I think that's what it is. I think I just hate the earth.
Yeah, I hate locks and keys, which is why I forget my key twice.
You don't want to be imprisoned.
I hate safety.
Oh.
I like to live on the edge, I guess.
That's why you eat mud.
Look, I'm not saying I'm a mud man, but...
Hey,
that might be a superhero.
We don't know that.
What was the key thing? You were going to talk about it, and I forget what it is now.
So the key thing is whenever both of us are leaving at the same time...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
We have to lock the door, but there's two keys, so only one of us actually needs to lock the door. And Tommy is a very competitive person. I am not a very competitive person, but I do generally participate. And so what happens
it's
is
like baseball. Yeah,
we sort of need to figure out who's locking the door. And it's generally resolved in a very aggressive manner where we both lunge for the lock on the door and mm-hmm. try and stick the key into the lock before the other one does.
What's the record right now?
Right now you've done it every time.
I'm undefeated.
It's because I'm a coward and don't want to get cut by a key by accident.
You know, I actually stabbed myself in the hand with my own key the other day.
Yeah?
And
how'd that feel?
It hurt.
Yeah.
It bled.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I don't lunge too... That's why I don't compete too hard.
Well, the thing was, I was on my own when it happened.
Right.
I just, like, couldn't open the door and
you just kind of failed miserably.
Yeah, and somehow I stabbed myself in the palm of my hand.
Maybe that's why you try and leave your key in the room, because you are... subconsciously afraid of it.
No.
Because it stabbed you in the past.
No, because I don't try and leave my key.
I think you're a coward afraid of your key.
I'm afraid of mine. Hey, everyone's got their
through mud nutrition.
This is actually... this is good because, you know, people are like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Normally I have to, like, brainstorm, but now I can just say keys.
I'm afraid of keys.
And I'm like, wow, okay, get help.
All right.
I mean, maybe it's like a weird trauma.
Not sure. Did you have a key friend as a child who left you? Who
moved I had an imaginary friend who was just a large key.
Yeah?
He was really scary.
That's
He actually wasn't an imaginary friend. He was a sleep paralysis demon.
Wow.
Actually, no. My sleep paralysis demon has only... I've only seen it once because I've only had sleep paralysis once, and it was just a kind of a vague human.
You know, as a child, I didn't get sleep paralysis, but I did sleepwalk.
Oh, no.
And even worse, imagine me as a child walking around my house asleep. I would sleep laugh.
That's terrible.
Isn't that the worst?
I hate that.
Isn't that awful?
That's terrifying.
So my parents would wake up and they'd see their little boy wandering around the hallway laughing, not aware of anything that's happening
like,
around him.
Like maniacal laughter?
Yeah. Like,
that's terrifying.
Like giggle laugh.
Oh,
and
no.
And I'm a child, and so my... it's like
that's literally every horror movie.
It was unbelievably awful.
Did they ever film it?
No.
They should have.
I know.
That's
it doesn't
amazing.
Happen anymore, obviously. But...
I hope not. If it did, I would probably leave.
You would just...
If I woke up and you were just pacing around giggling...
Yeah. You I'd would be... just be out of there.
I'd be terrified.
Yeah. No, that's reasonable. That's fair.
That's so scary.
Yeah. And so I'd have to talk to them more about it because I don't really remember a whole lot because I was asleep. But...
Well, I would have thought.
But, I know my brother also, like, woke up once when that happened, and he was also freaked out.
Was he just, like, screaming?
He was just like, what is happening?
Would you, like, leave your room and travel?
I would at least travel, like, down the hall a little bit. I wouldn't go too far, I don't think. Obviously, I wouldn't use the stairs, and I wouldn't try and use the stairs.
That's good.
But I think I would probably go around my room, out the hall, and probably to my parents' room.
Did you get back in bed before falling asleep or waking up?
They would have to get up and lead me back to my room.
While you're asleep?
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Isn't that awful?
If my kid did that, I would disown them.
You would exercise the house and leave.
Be like, nope, sorry, send it back.
I'm going to go get milk. I'll be back 10 years later.
No, I think it would be a mutual thing. You know, the whole family would be just like,
you just all agree. It's like, no, I don't think this is...
Let's get a new one.
We can't.
Let's take it back. Take it back to the shelter.
Yeah. Do you still have the receipt?
Yeah. Like $3, sleepwalking kid.
Oh. Wow.
That's funny. That's a good story.
Yeah.
And when did it stop, then?
I have no idea. That's all the detail that I have about it.
You need to ask your parents about
it. I'll do some follow-up.
Because, like, you know, it's one thing if you were, like, 3.
Mm-hmm. No, I think I was probably, like, 5.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a rough one.
So you were, like, the kid from The Omen?
I've never seen the movie.
I haven't either. I just know there's, like, a little satanic
boy. I was the classic horror movie child.
Did you run?
No.
Okay, because that'd be even worse.
Could you imagine?
Kind of, like, patter by, like, giggling. Ugh.
Get on my tricycle.
Yeah, exactly. You're literally a horror movie.
Yeah.
I think we're going to wrap up.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
This has been a good podcast.
Yeah, we're kind of... What were the highlights, Mudman?
So, to recap, as a child, I couldn't see very well.
Right.
And so I would taste the baseball.
Yeah.
Thus revealing my origin story before I got my glasses. I was, in fact, Mudman.
The alternative to this is that you were just really bad at baseball and kept getting hit in the face by
pitches.
That's
not true. I don't know what you're talking about. I was never afraid of the ball.
That's good.
So before I got my glasses, I was Mudman. Pottery Boy was my sidekick.
Right.
I would taste the crime.
And criminals.
And the criminals. In between my shifts as a crime-fighting vigilante of justice, I would sleep laugh around my house.
You would cursed sleep giggle.
I would sleep giggle.
Let's say it for what it really is.
Around my house. Terrify everyone around me. My parents would look for the receipt and never find the receipt to try and return me. And then once I got glasses, it all resolved. The schmears went away.
Yes.
And
that, I think the moral of this story is, kids, wear your glasses.
Wear your glasses, kids.
Depth perception is important.
Don't become a cursed child. And wear your glasses.
Yeah. Have a good day.